Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest running Dynasty focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Bacella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm King Facel, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 165 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. And I need... Seriously, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You could see right now as I'm doing my intro, Kane is literally boxing. Like, he's warming up. He's getting ready. That's how psyched we are. Real quick, before we actually get started, I have two things I need to get off of my chest. First of all, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Little old lady.
Little old lady who?
Oh, man, I didn't know you could yodel. You know, little lady good. Who? I never heard that. My six-year-old daughter hit me with that today. I lost it.
You never heard that before?
No. And I literally had to go, little old lady who? Oh, daddy, I didn't know you could yodel. Little old lady who?
I heard that when I was a kid. Like,
I like never heard that before.
So you want to hear my wife's favorite one?
Yes.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dwayne.
Dwayne who?
Dwayne the bathtub. I'm drowning. Whitney loves that. I don't know why, but she thinks it's the funniest thing in the world.
I was kind of hoping like you'd hear her cracking up in the background just because she heard you say it.
I think she's all the way downstairs. She's probably
she doesn't
enjoy like overhearing me talk about football a few nights a week.
Oh no, I am shut in my basement and my wife is up in the bedroom. I have to edit Dynasty Game Night still. And like, I'm sitting there at my, we work at the dining room table together and I'm sitting here trying to do it. She's like, oh my God, hon, shut that shit off. Shut that. What are they saying? That is not English. Just stop it. Yeah, she has no interest in hearing any of that stuff. But the second thing I need to get over, speaking of my beautiful, amazing, beautiful, brilliant wife, we helped our friend plan a wedding recently. And after the wedding, we took a lot of her stuff back, and my wife is trying to make a nice gift for her, like a shadow box with the invitation and the cake topper, because it was flat, so you can get it in there. Yeah. And she took her bouquet and dried the flowers and put it in resin to like make a nice like piece of it. And it was in there for like a week, in this silicone mold for like a week. So we go to take it out. It wasn't dry. So we both ended up with epoxy all over our hands. We were almost those two a-holes with our hands glued together. And we had to, thank God, okay, Google and hey, Siri legitimately work, because we couldn't use our hands to use our phones. And we couldn't get our 8-year-old to spell epoxy or resin correctly on his iPad to Google how to get it off. By the way, vinegar.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. We tried soap. I almost went for some sandpaper. Like, that's how desperate I was to, like, be able to open my hands. Like, my hands, like, she had her hands together. Mine were in fists. And we were, like, almost stuck. It was a very rousing day in the Fisher household. I needed to say that stuff out loud. I don't even know why. I know it has nothing to do with anything, but I feel better now.
Well, good.
How you doing, Kane?
I'm good. You know, this is a weird time of year, right? For obviously I'm a Debbie guy, no college football guy. So this is like the last like month and a half have been like the dead period.
Yeah.
For us, right? Because it's like you're also waiting for college football. And this has been a dead period for recruiting anyways, because right with COVID, recruiting just opened up in June. And then you have like the draft that happened, and you can only talk so much about rookies before you've just said everything that you can say about like what their rookie profile looks like.
Yeah.
So it's nice to, you know, have some time to not talk about that stuff. Even if it's just nonsense, like we do a lot on the podcast, it's just nice to have some time not being bombarded with like rookie questions. And it's like, as soon as the draft happens, like basically everyone's a rookie expert.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I can tell you all about everyone's profile, but like, that's not going to help you as much, because it's not like I fully follow every NFL team as much as I do college football.
Yeah. Then you get into, well, Kane, what should I do about trading into 2022 instead of 21?
Were you in my DMs this morning? Because
what else is there to ask? Like,
I honestly think that's a word for word. I got a guy that DMs me quite a bit about Debbie stuff. He goes, "Mr. Debbie, sir, I haven't the slightest clue on Debbie, so I was wondering if you had any insight to the notion that the 2022 class is as bad as they say." And I was like, boy, do I have some thoughts.
Yes, I have thoughts. One of question mark.
Yeah, I was like, I have many. Let me just go. Okay, I'm just going to tell you all my thoughts because, I can say it here too. No, like the way that they're portraying it, it's not as bad as people think it is, right? The only reason why people think it's quote unquote bad is because we're comparing it to the last two draft classes, right? The last draft class, we had five quarterbacks go in the first round. That's not going to happen again. So anytime that doesn't happen, people are going to compare it to the year before and be like, well, this class sucks, right? Because we didn't have as many quarterbacks. And then we're still hung up on this 2020 draft class, right? Where there were six or seven running backs that were all producing. It's like, well, yeah, that can't happen. Mm-hmm. There's only 32 teams. So if that's happening every year, that means no running back ever is getting a second contract. And that means no running back ever is playing all 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what math says. So like we gotta cool it we need to evaluate a class on its own, not by comparing it to past classes, because that doesn't help anyone. It's the reason why comps don't work, right? If I'm comparing and if I'm just taking a comp from USC, where Clay Helton, their head coach, said that Drake London could be the next Mike Evans, right? So what does that comp mean? Right? Does it mean in play style? Does that mean in size? Does that mean in what he's going to do in the NFL? Does that mean what his college production is going to look like? Does that mean he's going to have similar catches and stats? Like, what does that mean? Right? So if you just make a comp and just throw it out on Twitter or on a podcast and not explain it, no one knows what you mean. Because there's so many different pieces of a comp. Right? So if I say that, like, you know, Mac Jones is the next Tom Brady. It's like, how? Because they play on the same team, right?
I was about to say quarterback of the Patriots. Like, yeah, not quarterback super of
the
Patriots.
That's the only way that, like, they're similar, right? But people can make that comp, right? Because quarterback of the same team.
Well, see, what you got to do is you say something stupid like that, like Mac Jones is the next Tom Brady, and you just don't give any detail as to why. So you can later be like, oh, I thought you said he was this. And then you could just cherry pick one reason why they match. There you go. I like that. I think I'm going to start doing that from now on. Like, because you built in the fact that you can pretty much always be right. Oh, well, they both have an R in their first name. So clearly they're just, you know, they comp well.
Yeah. And, you know, you can either do that or you can do the fake outrage route, which I think is also good.
I'm so like that. Actually, right, no, I'm great at fake outrage.
The straw man argument, right? It's like, oh, last time I heard JT wasn't a top five running back. And it's like, no one was saying that. Like, everyone thinks that Jonathan Taylor is a top five dynasty run. Everyone thinks that. So I don't know who you're like cherry picking. Then they're like, but this person like 4 days ago had him sixth. And it's like, cool. A single person on Twitter is how you're basing this whole straw man argument. Like, get out of here.
Oh, like, Twitter.
Stop being foolish.
I think this and just started with asking how you were doing, by the way.
I'm tired. But, you know, that it's par for the course. It did not feel like a Monday. You know, when you get to work and you're like, this is supposed to be a Monday and I was supposed to be rested from the weekend. And you're like, I don't feel rested at all.
Nope. Well, I never really feel rested, so I guess I'm just used to that. Plus, I still don't have to go in anywhere.
Yeah, I'm still working from home, but like, so on Mondays, I have to go into the office for 2 hours and check mail.
Gotcha.
And so like, that's such a stilted time, right? So you have a few hours where you're trying to get some stuff done and you're like, oh, I only have 2 hours where my key card works. And then you have to go in and it's like, oh, it says I have to leave at noon. So then you have to leave at noon. It's like, so stupid. And then you get back home and it's like, oh, why weren't you working for 10 minutes? It's like, well, I was walking out of the office and getting in my car and getting home and setting up my computer, you know? It's like, oh, well, why weren't you working? It's like, you need to calm down. Like, we got to just relax. Like, I know work is important, but like, I think some people might think it's their only part of their life. And we got to bring back that work-life balance actually matters thing.
We had such a chance for that. And my job show, they just don't care. Yeah.
And I think one way they actually show it at least a little bit, right, is if you're continuing to work from home, at least they like have that in their minds at least a little bit that like still working from home.
After the show, I'll tell you the story about me still working from home. It is not a good story.
Well, at least for us, they're like, you know, if you don't ever want to come back to the office and that's cool with you and your manager, like do it.
My job's not doing that.
Yeah, I was straight up told we are not a company that lets people work remotely.
Yeah, there were some people pushing for that at my job too, and it was like, they're phasing us back in. We're not going full time until October, but
I'll never go back into the office just for meetings.
That's my goal. It would be nice, but I don't know.
But I think it's impressive even when like a few companies like open their eyes and be like, oh, people also did the same amount of work from home and sometimes even worked harder in some cases, and they still were allowed additional flexibility and all the work got done. It's like weird.
Yep.
Like that's fun. So why don't we just keep doing that and supporting our workers? But instead, there's some places that are like, no, like that's just not happening.
Yep.
Like my place.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of places and working and things, we skipped over the part of telling everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at Debbie_Kane. You can find me on the podcast, the Debbie Marketplace. The Debbie Marketplace is just a podcast where we talk about player values in a way to see if we should be trading for or trading away certain players and making sure we're getting the most for our Devi assets because they're not scoring any points for us. So we want to make sure that we're accruing value the way that we should be doing that. You can also find me over on Headliner U on YouTube, which is the college football side of the Fantasy Headliners. And that's pretty much what I do. I just do college football Devi stuff. Try to know about most college football players before they go into the NFL. That's the goal. Except defensive players and offensive linemen, I don't understand them, but like, whatever.
Yeah, nobody needs to understand those. It's fine.
No, I'm not an IDP dude. There's enough IDP guys out there.
Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. We don't have a lot of trade addicts trades, so we're gonna do the trades. Then we're gonna fight. We're gonna. Like, I saw you warming up before the fisticuffs. We'll get into a little bit of a fight later on, and then we'll take some listener questions. You guys ready?
Yep.
Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage because still no TA1 trades. But we have a TA2 trade. This trade, Justin Fields and Tyler Boyd for A.J. Brown. Debbie_Kane, how do you feel about it?
Give me Fields.
Yeah? Like that easily?
Yeah. I think Fields is just a really good player. It's cool, you know, to have like a top five, top seven wide receiver, but like that's not a necessity to win a fantasy football league. What is a necessity to win fantasy football leagues are quarterbacks in super flex leagues, because they give you the biggest bonus. And I also think that Tyler Boyd isn't a slouch. So, like, you're getting a low-end wide receiver two plus Justin Fields for eight. Like, I'm cool with it. Neato Mosquito on my part.
Neato Mosquito. I like that. How do you feel, Rock?
I'm on the opposite side of Kane here. I mean, if you had said 2 months ago 102 and Tyler Boyd or A.J. Brown, I think everybody would say A.J. Brown. And I agree with him. Well, I agree to some extent what he's saying about quarterbacks. Obviously, I don't totally agree. But but you, in terms of winning, you're talking – I mean, Justin Fields' value right now is in value. I mean, I'm with you. I like Justin Fields a lot. He was my QB too. But well, we don't know that he's a major – I mean, Mitchell Trubisky was a quarterback, and he wasn't helping people win fantasy championships. So I'd rather take the proven guy. And, again, I, like I said, if you – convert this to the pick. I consider Justin Fields the 102. You convert it to the pick. I wouldn't trade AJ Brown for the 102 and Tyler Boyd, just because I now know it's likely Justin Fields. I'm not changing my mind on that. And you know me anyway. I'll always take the elite position player over the quarterback, especially an unproven one.
Wow, the look on Kane's face was fantastic. Okay, so there are a few things about this. First of all, this was me, and I got AJ Brown. I have been on a tear of going to get AJ Brown, and I'm kind of the weird thing is I'm a little bit with Kane on this. If I didn't have already like four starting quarterbacks, I wouldn't have done this.
That's one of those like in a vacuum, right?
We try and do that to help people gauge value, you know. But clearly, I'll bring in the context because I can on this one because it's my team. So I have like I think it's Burrow, Baker and Josh Allen still. Sure. And I forgot who. I have another top end backup. And he picked Fields out of all the quarterbacks. And what's really funny is I was curious as we're sitting here talking about it, about Fields' value and everything, what it is right now. So I went to the DLF trade analyzer and I typed it in. Justin Fields is worth 563.3. AJ Brown is worth 676.1. On the trade analyzer, below your trade, it says suggested additions to even out the trade. The first freaking player listed is Tyler Boyd.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say in addition to Justin Fields, right? I think I've made this argument a million times for all of these rookie quarterbacks, and that their value is pretty insulated, right, for the first couple of years. And the biggest thing that they can do, right, to increase their value, it's not even play a game. Yep. It's to be named the starter of a team, right? That's the biggest boom that any rookie player can have for their value, right? Yep. As soon as they're named the rookie or the starter, let's say that Justin Fields, is named the starter in like week four or five. Like as soon as he's named the starter, he's a top 14 dynasty quarterback, probably at least a top 12 dynasty quarterback instantly.
He's got to be top 14 now.
He probably is.
He's QB 10.
Yeah, well.
Right. Glad you're quicker to draw than I am on that one.
An ADP. Yeah.
Like, and he's going to go up as soon as he's named the starter. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
So if let's say that if I was receiving this Justin Fields side and I somehow was okay on quarterback, you know, without Justin Fields, like I was before the trade, as soon as he's named the starter, I would just trade Justin Fields.
Yep.
Right. In that week where he's named the starter, I would just trade him then. Because you're going to get so much value for him, and it happens every year, right? And or you can, on the flip side, is the same thing, right? As soon as someone's named the starter, you don't want to trade for him, but if they have a bad first week, then send out offers for him, right? It's the same on both sides of the coin, but I think those are both beneficial times to be buying and selling players.
I was bored, and I like AJ Brown.
Get that.
I mean, honestly, this was... I don't remember how this started, but this was Jerry. Jerry actually sent me an offer, and it turned into this somehow. I don't even know anymore. But, yes, I have been on an A.J. Brown buying tear lately, and so I was glad to get another one.
Looking at the ADP, I mean, I don't think it's a bad value wise trade. It's if it comes out to like 204 in a startup for 301 in a ninth.
So, well, I mean, the analyzer has it almost even, like completely, yeah. Because it said it, like the top person to add to the trade to make it even was Tyler Boyd, which is crazy because I didn't use it when because this was my offer in the end, and I didn't use it when I was sending it, and it just so happened to go. And then, of course, like 2 days later, Jerry sends me an offer of Tyler Boyd for my 22 first, and I'm just like, no, you took that guy, and like I honestly was gonna say no regardless of what the offer was. I'm like, no, you took Boyd, you're gonna take him and you're gonna like him, and you know, just to have fun and everything. But the only reason I was really okay, because I love Tyler Boyd, but I also have Higgins on my team, and again, it's not like you could probably still have both of them and be okay, but that team's good and I didn't care, so I had fun. The end. Okay. Next, we go to Trade Addicts 5. This is David Montgomery and DeAndre Hopkins for Antonio Gibson and Brandon Ayuk. I said that fast. One more time. DeAndre Hopkins and David Montgomery for Antonio Gibson and Brandon Ayuk.
This is what we would call a classic case of, are you trying to win this year?
That's what I was just thinking. I'm looking at it. I would rather have those, the top two probably on my team to score points. But I would probably take the Gibson and Ayuk side just because I think both of their value is beyond even what I feel it should be. But I think it's just higher than another side.
Do you think Montgomery's going to outscore Gibson by that much?
No, probably not. But I think Hopkins is going to outscore Ayuk by that much.
Yeah.
But I think David Montgomery is going to be much better than people think he's going to be.
I agree. I've come around some on him. I kind of agree with Cam. I don't love him, but I still think he's much better than people are giving him credit for.
Because everyone thinks he's terrible, and the thing is he's right. Not terrible. But my thing is, like, he did his best with Mitchell Trubisky behind the field because Mitchell Trubisky ran around like a chicken with his head cut off half the time. And by no means is Justin Fields anything like that, but he's mobile. You know, they're going to have to respect the fact that Justin Fields is going to take off every once in a while, and that's good for a running back. You know, so if they luck into a couple of games with an easy schedule, then Montgomery, I mean, the problem is he won't have those games in a row like he did at the end of last year. But he's still going to end up probably as a top 10-ish running back, right? But I also think Gibson, especially with Fitzmagic being there, I think has a pretty similar outcome.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Kane, like, what do you think of Gibson? Because like I feel he's a little overrated, but I also can see where, like, with Fitzpatrick there, the offense has improved. They didn't take advantage of him as much as they should in the past. And yeah, I can definitely see the outcome where he's even better than last year. So I'm just curious where you're at on Gibson.
Yeah, so I'm lower on him than what seems to be at least the Twitter consensus, because the Twitter consensus seems to be like, oh, he's a top like 12 or 13 running back. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be the next hot thing. And right, I don't ever assume that someone is going to get a second contract, especially a running back. Mm-hmm. So if the question is, right, David Montgomery plus a wide receiver one, or you know, a wide receiver two plus Antonio Gibson. Like, if I'm trying to win, I want the better player. So the better player to me is DeAndre Hopkins. I think that's the player that matters the most in this trade. So if I'm trying to win, I go for it. And guess what? I still think DeAndre Hopkins has more than 1 year left. And David Montgomery has at least 2 years left. And there's a good chance he gets a second contract somewhere, right? For 2 years, $12 million, or 2 years, $15 million somewhere, right? And he plays for another year. Like, if I get 3 years out of David Montgomery, it's easily that side of the trade for me.
All right, well, I'm even more sold now. Like, I mean, I was leading the Montgomery-Hopkins side mostly because of Hopkins, but now I think I'm fully there. I do like Gibson, though. His touchdowns will probably go down, and everything else I think might go up a bit. But he's fun. I think that's what it comes down to, and I'm okay with that. Like, everyone wants any running back that can catch passes to be the next Kamara, and not everyone's going to be your top three running back. That's just the way the world has to be, right? Like you said before, that's what math does. That math says that not everyone could be top three. Right. So it's, you know, liking them for what they are. And I think they're both low-end wide receiver ones with maybe not the safest floors either of them just because of what teams they're on. But I like them. And yes, when it comes down to Hopkins versus Ayuk, we know what Hopkins is. We know what he is in that offense. I still don't think we know what Ayuk really is in that offense because we don't know what that offense is. Yeah, like no one was healthy last year, and it was God knows what that offense is going to look like when Trey Lance takes over. Like, that, can it look the same? Maybe, but I don't think it will. Like, they've never had that dynamic a quarterback.
Can you sell Ayuk for Debo Plus right now? Should be able to.
Absolutely. For sure, yeah. It's funny too. Looking at this, I'm usually the guy who likes to take the points, and I'm the one taking the opposite side. You're just, the way I look at it. I was just Gibson's worth more than Hopkins at this point, and I not in value, and Ayuk is worth more than Montgomery. So take them and maybe flip them for something else. I don't know, but
that's the big thing right now is the fact that you can't move Hopkins because he's older than 26. So if you're taking him, you're taking him to play him. Or if you're one of those crazy people that have this weird thing called patience that I'm keep being told I need to have, and they are willing to wait a couple of weeks into the season to trade away Hopkins, then more power to you for having whatever that word was again. But I don't have that. So, that doesn't seem like that's the play here. But I think we've talked about this one for long enough, so we're just going to move on. We have two trades from Trade Addicts 9. One of them, I was a little upset about both of them. I'm going to be honest. let's do yours first, Rock.
I was upset about one of them.
Yeah, we all were. Austin Eckler, Jacob Harris, who I had to look up who that was, and a 22 second for Joe Mixon. And I saw this go through, and I DM Rocky, and I'm like, oh, hey, man, I kind of like Eckler better anyway, so nice free pick. And he's like, yeah, no, they're pretty much the same for me. So I'm speaking for you like you're not here. Yeah. Sorry, Matt.
Well, no, that is basically what it came down to. I'm with you. I think I might like Eckler a little better too. I'm not 100% on that, but I think that at worst, they're probably even, at least in my estimation, in terms of value, in terms of likely production. I could see Eckler even with the higher ceiling because we've – Mixon's got all the talent in the world, but he never seems to pay off on it from a points perspective consistently. So free second and Jacob Harris, whatever.
Yeah, still have no idea who that is. How do you feel about how do you feel about the values of Eckler and Mixon themselves before you feel about the trade in general?
Recently, occasionally I've known to get a tad intoxicated and send out offers.
I like where this is going.
Recently did that in the league. Woke up with Joe Mixon on my team.
What did I do?
I don't hate having Joe Mixon on my team.
Okay.
What I hate is that I sent a 2022 late first, what should be a late first, and Allen Robinson. Joe Mixon.
Ouch.
I mean, honestly, swapping them is probably right. I love Allen Robinson, though, so I'm a little biased on that one.
It's also tiered PPR, so, like, running backs just matter so much more. Yeah. And it's hard to get running backs. I've tried forever. So apparently that's what it cost me. I like Joe Mixon. Like, Joe Mixon's fine. I think he's going to be fine if he's healthy. Like, that's obviously the main question, right? The exact same question as Austin Eckler. Right?
Yep.
Are they going to be healthy with – if they both stay healthy, Eckler probably outscores Mixon by like a point and a half per game.
I was about to say, per game or on the season, though, because I mean those are
probably per game.
That'd be very precise calculations there.
I am really, really good at numbers. I don't think you know this, but like they call me the number.
Sure, you're not an analytics guy, Kane?
I am not, but I'm very good at numbers. I just get senses about them. No. I think probably about a point and a half a game or so on average, just because of the pass catching work. Obviously, he's going to get more of that than Mixon is. But I think Mixon is still going to be effective as long as he's healthy, because we want to play the game of who else do they have. Someone name me the starting or the backup running back for the Bengals.
Samaje Perine.
Someone name me a good backup running back for the Bengals.
I don't know if he's good, but I was going to mention Captain America.
Captain America, Chris Evans.
But you know what I mean? It's like there's just a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I know. I just happen to know their names.
But Gio Bernard being gone is only going to help Joe Mixon, and they have a little more faith in Joe Mixon. So I'm cool with it. If you are a Mixon guy, if you like mixing it up, but I would prefer to have Austin Ekeler.
If you like mixing it up. Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
I see what you did there.
Oh yeah. All right, so let's get this last one. This was Chris Carson, Evan Engram, and a 22 third for TJ Hockenson.
This is 1.75 tight end premium.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We in this league have been going nuts trying to get Hockenson. Everyone, like the three or four people. And at some point, I think it was Jason Real, who had him, who was a guest on our show a month or so ago. And he's just like, you know what? I appreciate it. I'm going to hold him for a while, which was the smart move because we were all going nuts trying to get him. So he's playing the slow game. And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks later, this trade happens. And we're just like, wait, what? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, easily Hawk. In this, I mean, I love Chris Carson. I think I'm contractually obligated to love Chris Carson as a Seahawks fan. But he is, again, one of those players where he's healthy, he's awesome. And again, because they have no one behind him to really steal touches. Like, DJ Dallas just isn't going to be a thing. Honestly, they brought back Alex Collins. Like, the fact that we had to use the phrase brought back, you know, it doesn't just shows that he's not going to do anything either. So Chris Carson will absolutely be the guy.
Oh yeah.
Evan Engram, man, like maybe having all those other pieces around will be good for Engram, but like I don't know. And then a third is who cares? Mm-hmm. Like it just hurts, like cause I feel like what I offered was better. And why didn't he take my trade? Like that's really what it comes down to.
We talk about our hot club pretty much every week at this point now. So anyway, so yeah, I mean I don't think there's much else to say on this one. And I feel like nobody wants Evan Engram. I was surprised he was the tight end included in this trade. Like try trading Evan Engram for anything of value right now. So yeah, I mean I like Carson too, but Carson and a tight end nobody wants doesn't equal Hawk, who's about to, I think, explode, get that third-year breakout in a 1.75.
Well, especially when they have to throw to someone.
Yes, exactly.
Terrell the Gazelle season, baby.
He's going to lead that team in targets.
Quintez Cephas, baby.
I have acquired a ton of shares of Quintez Cephas in this non-point scoring season, so I'm there for it, too.
It's so cheap. But yeah, that's what I'm hearing too about Evan Engram. I might as well just go out and send some trades for him because like it's not like anyone is trying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean even in a premium, like he's not worth a first.
Right.
At this point. I mean, I don't know if you can get him for a second, but that's what you should be getting. Well, sending. So who the hell knows? Yeah, worth a shot, right?
Well, and so it's a second in a horrible draft next year, right, Kane?
We'll get into that in a second. But I was just going to say, if you are an Evan Engram, like, somewhat believer, I would send, like, Firkser in a third for Evan Engram.
Yeah.
Like, the Firkser breakout's not going to happen.
Nope.
And I have some Firkser shares from before the Julio stuff and everything.
Yep.
I think I'm going to try that. I'm a little bit of an Engram believer.
Still, people are really high on Firkser for a reason that I have yet to determine.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I really like I drafted him in the one of the Devy Best Ball leagues. And they're like, you sniped me in round like 28. I was like, cool. If you liked him, you shouldn't have waited until round like 20, whatever, right? Like, if you liked a player, you shouldn't have waited that long. So I don't think that he's actually like a target for people. But if someone is like, oh, you know, he could be something, I would trade him in a third for Evan Engram. And I feel like you would still win that trade and get better value next year for Evan Engram than Firkser in a third. So you might as well go for it. I don't see a reason not to.
Always, it's always worth a shot. And that's pretty much my answer for everything. Okay. That was the last Trade Addicts trade we have. You ready, Kane? You ready to do this?
Give me one second. I got to turn on the fan before I get heated up here.
You like that? He has to cool himself down before he gets ready to fight.
I thought he was going to turn out the lights.
who pulls the right cord first on a fan? That's what I want to know.
What's
a witch? That's it. Like, I would have started calling you a witch if you pulled the right cord first. Like, no one ever pulls the right cord.
I went over
first.
To the wall and I still turn the light off. Like, I've lived in this house for over a year and I'm in this room all the time. Like, and I hit the light and I was like, no, that's not the fan.
My house, like, the person who designed this house just loved light switches. Like, every single, where there should be one, there's four.
Yeah.
They, like, for some reason, they needed a light switch for outlets everywhere in every freaking room. They're just like, we don't have floor lamps. No one has floor lamps in a room with overhead lighting. Why do I need something that's a switch to control this? Like,
yeah.
Everywhere.
For our living room, we have three light switches that are the same.
Well, that's the worst, because then it drives me nuts that they can't be like down is off, because they're all screwed up on the circuit, you know, which is which.
And so, and then there's one other light where you can't have both down and it would be off. So it's terrifying.
I hate it.
My wife,
I hate it.
OCD and anxiety is like through the roof when we moved in. She goes, this isn't okay. Like,
you just got to start. Like, what I did was I decorated light switches so I knew what they were for. Like, I know what the cat does, the kitchen lights. So, you know, I started like just, you That's know, putting call. Stickers to things. So I knew what they were for. Cause otherwise you said, they're like, nope, click, click. Nope, click, click. I knew it was the last click. Wait, it wasn't that one either. What the? And then it was really the second one. And you didn't notice it when you first, like, so many damn light switches. Okay. But man, we're off topic.
Yeah.
So trade talks.
Yep.
Let's talk. Let's talk about not talking.
Okay.
Let's talk about, wow, Rocky ran away. You like that? We get started and he just like cuts his camera. Okay. I don't remember. This was a poll, I think, how you recently, because this is something you've been talking about for a while now.
Yeah.
I know that for sure. You know, we've talked, I think you were probably, we probably talk about this every time you're on this show.
Probably.
But whatever. Recently you put out a Twitter poll saying, it was something along the lines of, do you need to talk to the person you're trading with? Something along those lines. Yes or no? And
something like that, yeah.
I think it was like heavy, like 70-30 in the lines of yes. Like, you should be talking to the person you're trading with.
Yeah.
And you had words about that.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you give us those words about that?
Okay. So the first thing that we need to clear up is, if we didn't have a system in which to send trades and have a comment box, why would we ever need to talk about a trade? So, like, that's the first thing, right? If we have this site, right, where you can put in thoughts and send a trade at the same time, why do you and I have to talk outside of this to get a trade done?
Because it's fun.
Right. We can, but here's the thing. Like, Russ, you and I are friends. Like, we talk about random things all the time. But I don't have to talk to you about a trade. Like, if your league is so bad at communicating and you're friends with these people and you're so bad about communicating and the only thing that you have left to talk about in your lives are trades, well, then I think you need to be first better at communicating. Like, I think that needs to be talked about first. And, like, if you're holding people to this just because you need to talk to them about it, well, then, like, that's not an effective method of communication. And that's not effective to actually get trades done. Because if someone is willingly saying that they will only do trades if they talk about it first, well, then you're leaving out a whole market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there should never be a only. That's for damn sure.
Right. And so, like, let's say that we don't talk often and we don't talk, and all we really talk about is fantasy football, right? And I, let's say you send me a message, right? And you say, what do you want for player X? And then I say the same thing that everyone always says. Well, what do you want to give me for player X? And then you say, I don't know. Tell me what you want. And I say, just send me an offer then. And you say, I don't want to send an offer. And then, see, that was just a waste of minutes. Like, that exchange, you did what? You learned nothing. You got pissed off. And, like, it didn't help anyone. But, like, people cling so much to that idea that you just need to have communication. I think you can have effective communication, and I think that helps trades. Right? If mm-hmm. if I send a message to Russ, like, because I think last year I traded you a tight end or a wide receiver or something, and you were making a push for the playoffs, and I wasn't. Right? I said, I think I sent a trade, and I said, I just messaged you, and I was like, you need a wide receiver. And you were like, yes. And I said, I sent you a trade. And you looked at it, and you said, that's a little too much. And I said, okay. And then you messaged me back and said, sent a counter. And then I accepted the trade. Right? It's not, like, that's the fact that we can have communication, but, like, the crux, right? And that's why we have this same talk every, like, few weeks on Twitter, right? Is that it has to go through the system. Because over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, we all see on Twitter these questions of, like, it was accepted through a message, but now they don't want to do the trade. Do we force them to do the trade? Nope. No. Because why? Oh, because we had this system the whole time that told us that we could just send trades back and forth. And we could accept or decline or even counter, heaven forbid, with a comment. And this whole time, we could have just been doing that. Instead, we have to have this pointless conversation, this pointless atiate back and forth. It's stupid.
You good?
So those are my thoughts.
Okay, so let me tell you why you're wrong.
Okay, I'm not, but go ahead.
No, yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. So here's the thing. You said the most important thing towards the beginning. You can't only do something. You can't only trade by through conversation. That's not the way that works. Because like you said, you're knocking out so many people because that just, like, imagine just saying, I'm not going to trade with Shane Manillo because he don't want to talk to anybody. And right. The amount that dude trades, like, you're knocking out, like, one of the most active traders ever. Like, that's just dumb. So, like, you should never only do something. You should absolutely be like water. You know, you should absolutely be open to whatever the person you're dealing with is, because that's, like you said before, that's how you're good at communication in general. You can't talk the same way to every single person. Like, right. You know, like, I am who I am. I talk like I do, but yeah, but kind of, but you still talk differently when you're talking to different people. You have a different level of respect for different people. You have to show a different level of respect for different people. And there's just different people that you just, I don't curse nearly as much when I talk to certain people. There's certain people I curse more when I talk to them. Freaking Rocky's always setting me off, and I can't curse on the show because I don't want to edit it, but he just makes me want to just...
Well, I already said
I wish that was true. Like, I wish I had something that I could even think about to make that valid, but there's nothing there. I
already slipped out some sick swear words, so sorry, Russ.
No, I'm not changing anything at this point. Okay. I even left in one of Robbie's because I forgot to write down where it was last week, and I'm just like, nope, leaving it. Okay, so here's my thing. The problem is you're angry about people that don't communicate effectively is really what it comes to. Like, the conversation right. You had is the annoying one that happens too often. I think
that's what if you had to put a percentage, like, of your trade talks, how many of them end up in the exact talk that I said?
2 years ago, a lot of them.
Right.
Now, not as much, especially because, you know, I don't join that many new leagues and stuff like that. You know, I know a lot of the people I play with at this point, or it's a Trade Addicts League with people I've never met, but it's a freaking Trade Addicts League, so you just go nuts anyway. Right. So, like, that's to me the big difference is if you learn to, like, maybe that's just something we need to do. We need to have an episode on how to actually communicate when wanting to have trade talks. Because you don't – how do you value X more than you do so you send me a better offer? Like, there's ways you have to ask questions. There's way you go about things. Now, I'm not talking – like, it's funny. I used to listen to – you know, back when I listened to podcasts and, you know, lived in the world, the RotoViz Tradecast – and Dan Sanyo and Nathan Powell will always just be like, I'll have this one guy and he's the aim of this trade. But what I'll do is I'll come in talking about another guy and I'll just be like throwing this guy. Like, and they would talk about these strategies that would make my head spin. And it's just like, Well, good for you, man. I just like saying, hey, give me Tyler Boyd. Like, you know, there's so many ways to go about this. But the truth is, like, you can't just say, what do you want for this guy? Or how much do you value this guy? Like, there, you have to go in, like Kane even said when we were doing before, how little talking there was. But it was effective. It didn't need to be more. Russ, you need a wide receiver. Oh, crap. Yeah, I do. Here's an offer. I don't want to pay that much. Here, what about this offer? And yes, what Kane says is very true. All of that is one sentence stuff you can put in the comments. I do prefer, like, while I do put comments in almost everything, or I prefer to have that as in a DM instead of just in the comments, even though, again, you should always leave comments. Because I like, well, Kane and Rocky and I, we're very good friends off of fantasy football. You know, we know about each other's lives and stuff like that. That doesn't mean I don't want to talk about fantasy football with you. Like, I mean, I talk, you know, talking with these guys, I learn things about people. You know, if like that first trade where you sent me, I mean, we're not going to pretend to remember who it was, one player that you valued more, finding out why you valued him more, like, don't get me wrong. Like, it could be like, oh, I was just trying to get, you know, trying to get value on it. Like, you know, I don't think he's worth more. I was just trying for it. You know, cool. That's awesome. But again, you're learning something about that person, how they play and all of that stuff. And it's not being sneaky. Again, I'm not clever enough to be sneaky with trade stuff. I'm far too honest about it. But I think being able to talk, you learn about how a person plays, and it leads for better negotiations down the line. But yes, if it really is, what do you want for this guy? That will not get you anywhere, ever. Like, okay, once it will. I'm sure once, because I'm sure someone's like, yo, this one time I just said, what do you want for this guy? He said that guy, and we did that trade. Unicorns, cool. Baby. That's what you are. Unicorns. Beautiful, majestic unicorns. But
oh, it wasn't a wide receiver. It was a tight end. I just looked it up, because you did need a tight end, so I traded you Robert Tonyan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think I still have him. I think I'm talking in circles at this point. I think we both really have the same point. Effective communication is better than the crap communication. But if you have to have the crap communication, you might as well just not do it.
Right. I think that's a simple point.
Yes.
All this started right from one comment that all I said was negotiating through a chat is not needed when it comes to making trades. Because to me, it's not needed, right? I can just send you a trade and you either like it or you don't, right? That's the only buttons you have.
Well, see, the thing is, like, if, okay, back to like the beginning of this show where, like, not this show, but like of Trade Addicts, where I got myself in a lot of trouble because I told everyone that, my first offer is never my best. It's usually by my third. and so now people used to just start, well, not anymore, because I had to stop doing that. Everyone's like, just Russ, give me your third offer. I'm like, oh, crap. Like, sometimes I said bad offers. I absolutely do. Most of them go to Rocky, you know, but yeah, like every once
sometimes.
In a while. I said, for you, it's most of them. It's fun. But like, if I send an offer that I think is insanely fair and someone just goes, no way, I legitimately am curious. Again, maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just why I do all of this show and all of that stuff. But like, I love having that conversation of value. And honestly, like, I have absolutely grown from that, because I remember at the end of last year, I was going through like a crisis of how to, and a lot of it was Rocky's fault, of how to put production into trade value. Because to me, it was just value. Like, value mattered. But we're scoring points and that matters. So like, having conversations with Rocky, and then of course Rocky joining the show and all of that stuff, like, I learned a lot, you know, from stuff like that. So that's why I like having conversations.
Right, but let's be real. Like, the conversations that you're talking about that actually get to like the why didn't you like that trade happen maybe one out of every 100 times. Right? That's not the normal conversation that you have about trades. And the thing that gets me, right, is like, I don't actually have to tell you why I accepted a trade, why I declined a trade.
Oh, absolutely, no.
Because like, it doesn't matter. Like, why do I have to tell you if I'm higher on a player? That just means that you're going to want me to pay more for a certain player in a different league or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Because we play with similar people most of the time, right? So yeah. in different leagues, they're just going to be like, well, I know he likes this player. Let's make him pay more. Like, so I'm not going to tell you. Also, to someone in my home league, I'm not going to rank my players for you in order of who I like the most to who I don't like the most based on position. Like, that's not going to happen, and I'm sorry.
I've gotten that before, too. Hey, how do you rank the running backs you have? How do you rank the running backs that I have?
Like, which one do you like the least? The one that probably will never start, I guess? Like, if you want to trade me for, like, Trevion Williams or something?
I was about to say, I think I still have CJ Procise on a roster. Does that count?
Yeah, like, get it, you know? Like, but I'm not going to – I don't have to go out of my way to make things incredibly easy for you. But if you ask me what I want for a player and I tell you, I'm not going less than what I've told you. Right. So if you think, oh, he's just saying this and that's like, that's just in the ballpark. No, that's literally what I want. Like, I'm not trying to make this difficult. If I send you an offer and you want me to add more to it, I will decline because I already sent you the best offer that I had. I don't want to waste time. I have listened to John Bosch too many times that basically if I know what I want and I send it, and you decline it, well, then I move on.
It's like, so funny. I love that Bosch and I are very good friends because we are like bizarro each other when it comes to trading. Like, it's so
Bosch and I send messages that we get from people back and forth where it's like, you didn't respond to any of my trades. He goes, yeah, I did. I declined.
I rejected him.
It's like, and then one was like, you didn't respond to any of my trades. It's like, he's like, yeah, you wanted my picks. And I made those picks. So, what do you want? Why do I have to go through and decline all your trades if I just want to make the pick? Like, it's goofy. Like, but I think a lot of this, right? It's not that I enjoy communicating through a chat. I don't mind if it's effective communication, but most of the time it's not effective. And if we're just going to dance around the whole time because you won't send an offer, like, then I don't know how to help you. You messaged me. I don't have to go out of my way to tell you exactly what I want for a player.
Okay. Now
but that's what people want.
Oh yeah. They want to make it easy. Okay. But okay. Is if I came to you and I said, what direction are you taking your team? Like, I'm trying to come up with questions that I would ask, or I think people would ask, to see if you think they are helpful, if they are strong communication.
Yep, and I would answer that. I would answer that question the same every time. I'm trying to win. It might not be this year, but I'm trying to win in some year.
Okay, but you make acquisitions differently whether you're trying to win this year or 3 years from now.
Let's be real. If you can't look at one of my teams, Russ, and see like, oh, he's competing, or oh, he's not competing, and don't give me the nonsense of, oh, certain people might think that they're competing with lesser pieces. I don't care.
I'm Rocky and I have gone back and forth in Trade Addicts 3 where I like his team so much more than he does. Yes. Where I keep him like, dude, here, Go take Adam Thielen. You're gonna love. He's like, dude, I'm rebuilding. What are you talking about? I'm like, really? Your team is great. I mean, I don't know. Are we only in one league together? That's weird. And I don't really remember what TA8 looks like anymore these days. But yeah,
I know, but I have Trevor Lawrence, so I'm on the way up, baby.
Oh yeah, that's I remember that.
Yeah, I probably made the biggest trade you'll ever see for Trevor Lawrence for the 101.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just being like, everyone's like, well, Kane just really likes Trevor Lawrence. Okay, well, if you like Trevor Lawrence, then I guess you got to go do that.
And the kicker is, if the guy would have listened to the podcast, my podcast, I would have paid more.
Wow. Yeah, I remember that. I think you said you would have said Robert Woods on the podcast. Yep. Or something like
that. I sent the 105 and Joe Burrow for the 101.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And that was my trade. And he accepted it. But if you would have waited 30 minutes and listened to my podcast, I would have also added Robert Woods to the trade.
I still think the value of 105 and Joe Burrow for Trevor Lawrence, when you stop and think about it, makes perfect sense. It's just a scary one to do.
I know. I just believe that, let's say that Trevor Lawrence does anywhere near what Justin Herbert does, he's the 102 in startups.
He'll probably be the 101 because, I mean, we went nuts putting so many quarterbacks as QB1.
Well, let's be real. Like, it's going to be he and Mahomes in the conversation, right?
It'll be like the Mahomes Lamar all over again.
Yeah, 100%. And but the kicker is you have one of the best prospects ever coming out of college, one of the best prospects ever coming out of high school, and now he's producing at an NFL level. It's like, well, what can he do, right? What, like, this guy can do everything.
I was trying to think of something funny, like, well, can he do this?
Probably.
But it's, it's,
it's Trevor Lawrence.
Doesn't really work on a podcast.
He can do that with his hair.
I don't know if the microphone's picking that up.
Can he make fart noises with his armpits?
Oh, 100%.
I'm far too sweaty for that right now. That'd be just be terrible. Oh, man, that just took a weird. All right, so we're going to go out to listener questions because we were talking about armpit noises.
Yeah, but if you ever want to talk more about trades, like, just hit me up on Twitter. I will happily talk through my process with you about trades. I try to keep it as easy as possible because guess what? I like trading. And I like trading so much that I don't need to talk about it.
There are different levels. Like, you like executing trades. People do just like, I like puzzles. I like putting a trade together.
But so, you know what my favorite part about a puzzle is?
Finishing
when
it. Done.
When you finish.
Yeah. When it's done. Like, that's what I like.
It's about the journey, baby.
No.
It's about the journey.
It's like, not about, it's like the destination. When I was playing college rugby, right? They're like, did you love playing the game? I was like, no, it hurt. But what I really liked was winning.
See, then I shouldn't be playing games because I don't usually win.
Like that, but that's always how I've been, right? I try to win things.
Yeah. See, again, we talked about this last week with Robbie. I don't have that uber competitive gene in my body. It's just sort of broken.
I'm way too competitive. I'll give you some. I'll wring it out of the towel.
You can keep it. That's fine. I'm glad I know
special
where
juice.
Like, I'm glad I know where the rest of mine is. You can have
it's
it
from Space Jam.
Michael's special stuff.
Yeah, special stuff, baby.
Okay. Listener questions. Okay, I did not read any of these, so I hope they don't suck. Beryl Joffrey, why are Cane's food takes so bad?
They're not. You just like peanut butter, and I don't.
I was going to say, I only have one that I really contest. He doesn't like peanut butter.
Peanut butter is
the taste nor the texture.
Again, I'm not going to hate you for not liking something I don't. It just means more peanut butter for me.
I think it's more texture than anything because I also don't like Nutella. So
I don't like it.
It's a lot of the texture for me.
I don't like hazelnuts, so I don't like Nutella, and everyone thinks I'm crazy for saying I don't like it. So you don't – I'm going to say something everyone's going to laugh. So you don't like nut butters at all? Like almond butter or cashew butter or – because, I mean, they also have very similar textures. So if you don't like one, you're not going to like any of them if it's not about taste. I freaking love peanut butter. But
And there's other foods that it's not that I don't like them. It's I don't like bad versions of them, right? So if we're talking about, like, tacos – which I adore tacos. I think tacos are wonderful. What I don't like is like tacos that you make at home where you just pour taco seasoning on top of ground beef and like slap some lettuce and cheese on there and be like, I made you a taco. Like, no, you didn't. That's just meat in a tortilla. Don't call that a taco. It's a disgrace to the name.
All but, like, I know is I'm nobody to criticize anyone's food takes.
Chicken fingers and fries, baby.
That's me.
Let's do it.
Ain't nothing wrong with chicken fingers and fries, though.
Nothing wrong, but that's all he does.
See, this is also.
I do not have a distinguished palate, let's say.
Well, this is the issue that I have with this whole like boneless wings versus wing argument that happen like all the time, right? So chicken wings versus boneless wings. And here's what it comes down to. Right, because people say like, oh, they shouldn't be called boneless wings. But guess what? If me calling them boneless wings gets them in my mouth 15 seconds faster, then that's what I'm going to do. right?
Can I just get some chicken nuggets with sauce on them?
If you want to, then they'll be like, do you mean like, you know, like chicken tender? Like, no, if the menu says it's some honey barbecue boneless wings and that's what you order, that's what I'm going to order word for word to make sure those wings get in my mouth as soon as possible. That's okay, why I'm at a restaurant.
You're a step further. You're at the point where it's on the menu as boneless wings already.
Yes.
We're before that. We're talking conceptually, should they be called boneless wings?
But guess what? It doesn't matter because the end result is always how it's going to get into my mouth. And that's going to be a really bad clip if you just take that one phrase now that I think about it.
But dude, that's far too lazy.
To but that's what someone matters will. To me. Right? It's like, it's everything, even like food conception-wise, is all about how am I going to eat it. That's what I care about. And let's be real. I love wings. And if we're talking about regular bone-in wings, I will tell you that flats are better than drums. I don't know what to tell you. But guess what? Wings are better than no wings.
Wings. Both of them are delicious.
Boneless wings are better than no wings.
Yep.
If I have an option of like, you either have to call them boneless wings or you don't get any, that's the easiest choice of my lifetime.
Yes, I will. Once we're at that level, and of course, I really don't give a shit if you call them boneless wings or not. It's just fun to argue things for no reason whatsoever. It's fun to argue the stupidest crap, like, are they boneless wings or are they just chicken nuggets? They're chicken nuggets, but that's not the point. There is no point. We're just going to move on because that's it.
But yeah, and so the other thing that I don't necessarily like is like really simple spaghetti that you make at home.
Just like spaghetti and meat sauce, you're not going
to? Yeah. It's like, come on now.
You just think it's lazy?
Yeah, and there are not enough good sauces out of a can that you can convince me that that's the meal I should be having.
Oh, I always add stuff to sauce from a jar.
Right, but you're taking a couple extra steps.
Yeah.
Some people, it's sauce, noodles.
Yeah, that's lazy. And it's like, I mean, unless they're Rocky, and they're like, Rocky's like, I do that all the time!
I just raised my hand for a few minutes.
Like, and if that's what you want to eat, fine. But like, don't tell me you're going to cook me dinner and give me that.
It is a lot of it's lazy. It's like my mom does not do that. She uses the jar, but she adds stuff to it. And I love my mom's pasta way more than I love my own. So
right, but that's one of those things, right? If you're telling someone that you're going to cook for them, right? Let's say that either of you are coming over to my house, and it's like I'm going to cook. I'm not going to try and find the easiest way possible to cook you food.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because guess what? I'm not going to invite someone over just for me to be lazy. We could have just Skyped and I could have eaten in front of you. Like, I don't need that, right? So if people are coming over to my house, I'm actually going to cook so things taste good because I get appreciation when other people say my food is good. Like, that's fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would I want to cook something that I don't like? And so other people are going to be like, okay, like it was fine. No, ain't for me.
All right. Well, at Rex Fantasy, if you've heard of him before, what is Kane's favorite non-football subject and why?
I think we just did that.
So food is close. I think I really enjoy talking about food. Because I really, really like it. But it says, I thought it said non-fantasy football, but it just says non-football. Because if it just said non-fantasy, I was like, let's talk about the Minnesota Gophers. But that's obviously a cheat code. I think the thing that I probably appreciate the most when I have conversations is like, I'm not a surface level communication person. Like, I'm not like, oh, how are you? Good. How are you? Good. All right, bye. Like, that's not me. Like, I want to get, like, into the nitty-gritty. Like, I want to have a deep conversation. And, like, I want to understand, like, how you think and how you think the world works so I understand more about you as a person. And obviously there's not just one topic where you, like, dive into that, right? But I think my favorite thing in the world is probably having really, really deep conversations. And that right, that can span a variety of topics, whether that's all the topics you're not supposed to talk about, right? Like, people's rights, women's rights, gay rights, people's reproductive systems, you know, religion, politics, all those fun things that you're not supposed to talk about, right, on a day-to-day basis. It can be anything as simple as that, or it's like, tell me, like, how's your day going? But, like, actually tell me why your day was either good, bad, or, like, what parts were actually good, what parts were actually bad. Like, what do you enjoy about your day-to-day life? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, what are you striving to become? What are you striving to do? What do you enjoy to do that you don't get to do very often? Right? I think that's a fun conversation too. Because then it's like, well, why don't you do that? Right? What? Then you get the conversation that I almost enjoy even more. It's like, what's holding you back from doing the things that you enjoy? And why do you think those two things can't coexist together? And like, that's the conversations that I wish we had more. Because not only do you understand more about other people, you understand the way that you think more. Because the more deep conversations that you have with people, the more you understand your own thought process about how the world works and how you see yourself fitting in it. And I think those are worthwhile conversations that we don't get to have very often. And I feel like if we had more of those conversations, we would just be closer, not only as you know, a group of people, but just as a society and as a world as a whole.
I love that. I think I got way more profound than I expected from Bobby's question.
So yesterday, I think we were at the brewery, and I will say breweries are a perfect time for these deep conversations. Because the brewery that we go to is Brow Brothers here in Marshall. So if you like really dark beers, like stouts, they do, their main beer is called Moo Juice. So it's a milk stout, an oatmeal milk stout. So it's great, right? So props to them. Support your local breweries, all that fun stuff. But we were talking, and then you get like this music flowing, right? And it's always at the perfect volume. It's never too loud and it's never too quiet. Like, and they're playing things from like my childhood, which obviously isn't that old because I'm not that old, but like anytime you're going to like slam some Simple Plan on the waves, I'm like, let's get into a serious conversation, you know, let's get angsty about it. So yeah, we were just talking about like, not just about religion, but how we believe that karma works in the world. Because I think that's a fun conversation too. So if you just really like deep conversations, like hit me up on Twitter and we can get into it.
That was a great freaking conversation. That was just, that was wonderful to listen to. And I'm like, I've completely lost my ability to segue into the next question.
Well, to me, that's, I just enjoy that, right? Because not only do now your listeners just understand me better, but then if you're having a conversation with another person, like you get to learn more about them. And people say like, Kane, you're pretty intense. Yep. Like I know I am, right? And like I think some of these questions are like questions I asked Whitney on our first date. And I'm pretty sure she was like, oh my God, what is this guy doing? But it's like, I don't want to waste time, right? I want to know about you as a person, right? Because if people can actually have these conversations, like those are the friends I want to be around. I don't need surface level friends. I can find those at the grocery store. Like I can have surface level conversations anywhere. Give me that intense stuff. Let's dive in and let's actually learn more about each other.
So to sum up, Kane wants to have deep conversations unless it has to do about trades.
If you're actually not going to have surface level conversations, like you can go into my DMs.
Yeah, I was just messing around with you.
So listener questions. Yeah. At Andrew Hall FF, how do you convince a standard Dynasty League to convert to Devi? And what's the best process for doing that once everyone in the league is on board?
Yeah, so I think the easiest, I'll start with the first question first, because that's easy, or the second question, because that's the easiest. What's the best process? Like adding one round, adding a single round of Devi. That's it. One round. Because, right, if you dive in and you're like, we're going to do like four or five rounds, people are not only just going to get overwhelmed, but they're going to feel like that they have to dive way deeper in this process than they need to. Right. So just one round. And that still makes rookie drafts exciting. Right, because you're going to have a whole lot of players that are still in your rookie draft. Excuse me. The second, or the first part of the question, I suppose, is how do you convince a standard dynasty league to convert to Devi? It's just having a conversation about it. It's like, do you want to dive a little deeper? Or are you just cool with where you're at, right? And if people are just cool with where the league's at, like, that's fine, right? But if someone wants to get into Devi and they are thinking about it, like, just say, well, let's just do a round of Devi for a couple of years. And if people like it, fine. If they don't, you can just take that away. Like, it's not the biggest thing, right? Because you're only doing one round.
Yeah.
So if people don't like it, okay, just do away with it.
Yeah, take it away, and then it works itself out in rookie drafts.
Right. Like, it's not an issue at all. But I think if you're trying to...
What would your argument be if you were... If he hired you, if Andrew's like, Kane, come in front of these other 11 people in my league, give them three main points as to why they should turn this into a Debbie league.
Yeah, so the first one is I think it's more fun. The second, I think that anytime you get into college football, I think you end up having a better understanding of football overall. And third, which is the main one for this podcast, is more trade assets. Right? There's just more things to trade. And guess what? As soon as a name is combined with a pick, it's even more fun.
I'd also add, too, I think it helps you more with your other leagues as well, the non-Debbie leagues. Like, I'm in a few Debbie leagues, and it definitely helps, you know, like, going into this season, I knew who Rondale Moore was better. I knew all the quarterbacks better, you know, well, most of them, and Elijah Moore, all those guys, so.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't have to go and slide up into Kane's DMs being like, hey, is that 2022 class really as bad as it seems? Because you'd have a couple of ideas of a few players that will be coming out in 2022. Clearly, they'll already be on someone's Devi, you know, taxi squad. But still, you'll know those players for your other leagues.
Right. So the 2022 class is not as bad as people say it is.
I know, but now we're just going to keep riding it for the rest of the show. Just telling you how bad it is.
Make sure that's in there.
But right, but like now I'm aware of Spencer Rattler and Sam Howell, and which I might not, I mean, I might have heard the names, but I wouldn't know nearly as much if I wasn't in those Devi leagues and listening to Kane.
Well, and I think it makes SportsCenter on Saturday evenings more exciting.
That too.
Because even if you're just a casual fan and you're like, oh, Rashad Bateman caught a touchdown, you know, oh, he's on my team, right?
Yep.
Like, that's fun to me. You know, it's like, oh, Spencer Rattler threw another four touchdowns for Oklahoma. They're like, oh, maybe I should, like, watch an Oklahoma game, right? And then you kind of – it's like you're just dipping the toe in, right? You're just dipping a toe into Devi, and then next thing you know, you're in a C2C league. It goes quick because as soon as you start getting into all this college, you're like, oh, like, that does sound exciting. So I'm just going to really get into that. And that's what I want.
Can you just say Max Borgi for me?
Max Borgi?
Yeah, I just like the way you say Max Borgi.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was, again, back when I listened to podcasts, there was like a few weeks where you just said his name over and over again, and then I just like giggled every time you said the name Max Borgi.
Yeah, I like him.
I there's no real reason behind the player or anything. Okay. At Bueno Fantasy, what's a good strategy for a Campus to Canton startup draft? 10-team, 2QB. And how important is it for dynasty managers to participate in Devi and College to Canton leagues?
So I think we answered that second question a little bit. Like, I just think it helps overall, and I think it helps you understand, you know, who are some players that you should be looking at a little more closely.
Can you explain College to Canton leagues first, just in case people don't know what that is?
Yes. So a Campus to Canton league is where you have two sides. You have a college side and an NFL side. So everyone you have on your college side, as they go into the NFL, they instantly get placed on your NFL team. So it's basically just a pipeline. So there's not really a whole lot of drafting for your NFL side other than, you know, if people get missed. But it's just a way for you to get even deeper into college football. And the fun part is that there's two main fields of college fantasy football, right? So we talked a little bit about Devi, right? And that's more guys that are developmental that you know are going to go to the NFL, and that's the hope. They're going to be high picks for the NFL draft, things like that, right? But 98% of college athletes don't go pro, right? So then you're like, well, what happens to the other 98%? Well, that's a fun time for campus camp leagues, because then you get to draft the guys that are just absolute college studs in like small school, greater five conferences that are just absolute beasts and tear up their conference, but never really make it to the NFL. Now there's a reason to draft them. As for strategy, you know, if you really want to get into my strategy even deeper, you can go to patreon.com/heavymarketplace and I will answer all of your questions about C2C leagues. But for now, I'll just give you a surface level, which I always have written out and in my saved items on my phone. So I have four main points that I use when drafting a C2C team. So first, so we're just looking at the college side. We're not looking at the NFL side. In the college side, don't draft college studs early that have no path to the NFL. Seems simple, but if you're just drafting it for college production and you're doing that early, I can get a guy in like round 30 that's going to give me the exact same production in college. So I'm only drafting Devy guys that are going to go to the NFL early in the draft. Second, so I'm thinking of the first 10 rounds as Devy, give or take. So I'm drafting off my Devy board for those first 10 rounds. I'm not worrying about what the college production is going to be because I can always piecemeal those guys in, right? I can draft Brennan Armstrong from Virginia. I can draft Hutchinson from like Eastern Carolina or whatever team he's on. I can do that like in round 30. So why do I have to do it early? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Third, year in school matters less because they're actually contributing points to your team and you can win money while in college. Right? If your college team wins, you win money. So yeah, it matters less, right? Because normally in Devy, you want the best, closest guy to the NFL, right? So right now you want Spencer Rattler over a freshman, mm-hmm. right? Because he's right there, right? He's going to be in the NFL next year. So it matters a little less. And my favorite point that I do, because sometimes you're just deciding between two people and you're not sure what to do. Right. Let's say you have two people and you can't decide and they're just neck and neck for you. So I use three main points. The first is which one will make it to the NFL? Like a simple question. What if both answer yes or both answer no, then we move on to the next question. Right. But the first one is which one will make it to the NFL? If you believe one will and one won't, well, you just made your choice pretty easy. Right. Because you still have an NFL side that you need to have players on. Second is which one will get there faster. If you believe both will get to the NFL, now year in school matters a little bit because we have to figure out which one's going to get there faster. So if you're using that to decide between two players, I don't mind that. And the third, I think, is the most important point is which one will accrue in value. So if you're looking at college players and you're trying to decide, you know, who's actually going to increase in value and who's going to have a good season in college, that matters, right? Because you want your players to be constantly increasing in value or else it's not really worthwhile having them on your team. You don't want a bunch of decreasing assets. You don't want all right. Big Bens on your team. Like, it's not going to get you anywhere, right? He only has so much value.
Do you do two separate drafts for this?
Yeah.
Do you do one? So it's not one giant amalgamated NFL players and Devy players at once. That would be intense.
No, that'd be way too crazy. So you know, I like to draft the NFL side first.
Okay.
And then, you know, if I end up not getting a quarterback or a young quarterback at all on any of my rosters, I'm like, oh, I should probably, you know, move up in the first round of the college side, or I basically have to take a quarterback. So it will help me in that kind of pipeline from one right. team to the next. And I think that's where it matters a little bit more.
That's cool. That makes I had a question and I lost it. Nope, it's gone now. All right. Okay. Well, I mean, that sounds super interesting. Clearly, I'm in like one Devy league, so that'd be way too much of a jump for me. Plus, I don't really watch college football because I don't have time. So I would be terrible at that anyway. But that sounds so freaking interesting. Like, I want to join it just for the chaos, but can't do that.
Preston Hutchinson that I mentioned earlier is on Eastern Michigan, not Eastern Carolina. So my bad.
Me and Russ never would have known.
How could we respect you after that? We have two more. At Nation Bets, is there value in picking up quarterbacks in competition for minimal assets? Drew Lock, Teddy B, for example.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know exactly,
as they're actually minimal.
Yeah, right. Like, you're not spending a lot of money. But here's my question. Like, do you like locking? Like, I hate locking up backfields. Like, I hate owning Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. Like, would you go out of your way to own Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock?
For the right price, right? If I'm paying like a third for Teddy Bridgewater and I have Drew Lock, okay. Because I would do that even if I didn't have Drew Lock, right? Like, I would,
or even if, like, you know, one was the starter, right?
Yeah, like, the price that I would still pay doesn't change based on who's on my team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with Kane, and I'm the same. And we know I'd like to collect lower end quarterbacks, but I don't try and lock up like Lock and Bridgewater or Mac and Cam. Well, Mac's not that low end, but Mac and Cam or something like that. Like, I think in the recent weeks, I made that trade, I think, Cousins for Fitzpatrick in a first, and it helped. I happened to have actually Heinicke on my team already, but I wasn't going out of my way to get Fitzpatrick. I just did that for the value.
Right, so. And it's not like I was, you know, trying to lock down both Tua and Fitzpatrick on a team. Like, that was never my goal, right? I'm still just trying to win. So I think... First, if you're trading for players based on who's already on your team, like, not like, oh, I need a running back sort of thing, but like, if you're doing it just you lock up an entire position group on a team, like, that's not the smartest. Like, or else why wouldn't you do? Why don't you go out and get all the Lions wide receivers? Someone has to catch passes, right? It's like, no, that sounds stupid to say. Like, you just pick who you think is going to get it, and you trade for that one. You don't trade for all of them. Like, that's never how it works out. Just keep your values in mind. If you would do that value, regardless of who's on your team, then do the trade.
And I will say, as part of my, you know, fading higher-end quarterbacks most of the time strategy, I do like to get backup quarterbacks, but not ones that I think have a chance to start, and only – late in a startup, or sometimes you can get a guy off waivers that you think, you know, if the starter goes down, he could produce because he's in a good offense or something like that. I'm not targeting those guys.
Right.
If you had, you brought up a point with Mac Jones and Cam Newton, that kind of stuff. Like, say you had Justin Fields on a team, would you go out and test the waters on the person who has Andy Dalton just so you could say, well, I have the Bears quarterback for this season. I know the future is going to be Justin Fields, but now I know I'll still have those first four games of the Bears quarterback.
No, because I wouldn't be going out and buying Andy Dalton regardless of who I have on my team.
All right, just like, making sure that the fact that you were just covering up a rookie and
not
planting a flag on who's going to, because I think the situations are different between like Fields and Dalton and Lock and Bridgewater. Like, right, but I think the inevitable benching of Dalton is coming.
Yeah, but I think overall the question is then, like, am I that poor at quarterback that I need to lock up that backfield? Then I think your team is at a different stage than you want to believe it is.
That's fair.
Because if you're saying that you need to get Dalton, well, why don't you go out and get Ryan Fitzpatrick then? Why don't you pay a little bit more for Ryan Fitzpatrick and have the quarterback for the full season? Why are you just willingly paying for someone we know the future is bleak?
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I would rather get another guy that could potentially start the whole year. I guess the one thing I would add to that is that, you know, if I'm constructing another trade, it might make sense to throw Dalton in as a throw-in because sure. He basically has the value of a third or something like that.
Right.
But not targeting him. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have Dalton over a third. And if he makes his way into my trade and I have Fields on my team, like, cool.
Right.
Right. But, like, it's not like I'm going out and targeting a player just because Fields might not start the whole season, because I think that's a bad process.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. I like that. Last question. At Trip Andy, what can you do to try and make this part of the offseason, non-point scoring season, more active in more leagues?
Just have one person that drinks a little bit too much sometimes and starts spamming out offers.
Yeah, he's absolutely right in the fact that it comes in waves, trading, right? Like, yeah. We are just absolutely in a dead period. But Kane's right. Like, there's – okay, let's take a step further back. And I will say the thing I say all the freaking time.
Oh, you don't have to drink.
Well, that's besides the point. You can't force activity in a league. It doesn't work. There's a few things you can do with, like, league settings. First two rounds of the rookie draft in May, you know, the next two in June, you know, spread things out a little bit. Or if you do auctions, you can easily split up different kinds of auctions and stuff like that. But if you're not in the kind of league where you can do that, it really what it comes down to is I can't remember where the hell I've talked about this recently, but I know I have because I just talk too much. Take the fall, man. Send out a trade to every single team in your league. And you know what? If you really just want to get stuff going, take a hit. You know, trade for a little less than you normally would have just to get a trade accepted. One trade leads to other trades. What happened when TJ Hockenson got traded in TA, whatever the hell that was? Four people were like, oh, okay, well, let me send the new Hockenson guy an offer. You know, trades spark trades. People see a trade happen, and they want to do that. They want to get in on it. So if you used to, like, jump into the – again, well – also, going back to Kane's earlier point, if your chat is just completely and utterly dead until someone pops in and says, let's make trades, then you have a bigger problem in general. Right. But even still, like, I have absolutely done that where I'm like, oh, crap, I've been so busy and I haven't been able to, you know, pop into all 26 of my league chats. And I will just go, all right, this is happening. Every single team in this league is getting an offer. We'll see how this goes. And some of them will undoubtedly be terrible, especially for Rockies in that league. But also, you know, sometimes I will just throw someone a bone just to get a trade done, just to have some action. And clearly I'm not going to hurt my team, but especially at, like, it's like an unwritten rule as commissioner to me where it's like, okay, I'll do this. It might not make me super happy, but it's for the good of the league. And I will absolutely be willing to do that. Is it something you have to do? No. Is it something you should do? Probably not. But again, if you are bored, why not? Like, it's really what it comes down to. If you can start a spark of action going, and let's face it, it's June. In a month, we're going to get real off-season workouts going on. We're going to get real practices going. In a month from that, preseason games. A month from that, we're getting in football. Like, we're at the point, like, the dead season should be ending on its own pretty soon because we're already getting those horrible workout videos. And then soon it's going to be the one-handed catches in practice. And hype goes nuts at that
point. Devontae Parker, get ready to sell.
Yes, preseason is Devontae Parker season.
Yeah, so, like, if I have an extra, like, half hour, an hour, and, like, oh, I'm not really busy right now. I think Rocky's seen me do this in TA8, too. It's like, if you like this message in the next, like, hour, I'll send you a trade.
Yeah.
Everyone that likes this message will get an offer, right? So not only does that kind of make the chat a little more fun, like, because I think league chats are important to just have, because if the league chat is active, the league is going to be more active overall. So I do that a lot. I just randomly pop in on a group me and say, hey, if you like this, I'll send you a trade in an hour. Right. And will I get a trade done? Probably not. But at least if I send one offer out, I might get a counter or two. Or someone was like, oh, I didn't realize, like, this player was on my team. Like, maybe let's check the trade bait of this league. Maybe let's send an offer to someone else. And it's like, then maybe a trade or two gets done within the week. And it's like, oh, well, that at least makes things a little more exciting rather than just this, like, oh, we're just waiting until some news happens. And then someone puts that player that had news on the trade block and then no one sends a trade for that. Like, no one wants that. And that's one of the reasons why I dislike sleeper leagues sometimes, because if I look at the chat and all I've seen is, like, people that have gotten news are on the trade block, it's like, I don't want to see that. That means, like, the league's not active. It's just someone trying to capitalize on news, and like that's already the start of a not super fun league.
Yeah, you'd hope to be in leagues with people who know better.
Right.
Which unfortunately are all the trade addicts leagues. I miss being in leagues where I was smarter than other people, and I'm not in that anymore. All right, well that's the end of our show sheet, and that's the end of our show because I'm tired. Kane, thank you so much for coming on. It is always a fantastic time when you are around, and I look forward to hugging you in the not so distant future.
Yes, just know, for anyone that doesn't know me, I'm a hugger. So if you see me at Canton and you're like, oh, I still don't necessarily feel safe because of COVID or whatever, just let me know ahead of time because I will instantly go in for a hug.
Yep.
Like that's just the way that it is. And if you don't feel comfortable, be like, nah. I'm like, cool, no biggie.
Someone's just like, Kane's gonna go running up. Someone's just gonna like straight like smoosh, like stiff him in the face, knock him down.
Yeah, and then we can have words afterwards. But it's hard for me to know. You know, I just always assume people want a hug.
I don't know. And people don't know they need it, but they need it. It's fine. Yeah.
Hugs are good, and I'm hopeful that we have more hugs in this world soon.
Yes, but before we do head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Debbie_Kane. You can follow my work over at Both Headliner U on YouTube and my work at Fantasy Headliners over there. Or you can follow our podcast, which is Debbie Marketplace, where we're just trying to look at Debbie trades and just Debbie in a better light, trying to figure out when we need to be trading people away, when we need to be trading for people, so we can continue to accrue assets the whole time and making sure that we're utilizing our players as best we can to make sure that we're actually making our team better and not just sitting and holding players, just hoping for the best.
And patreon.com/...
Oh yeah, / Debbie Marketplace. We have a fun Discord, and you get a podcast, an extra podcast every week, and you can even hop in that podcast and talk with us. So do it.
Russ,
it's fun.
Russ, quite the pro there, making sure you plug everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he is a
member of our Patreon.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm part of it. Everyone else should be. You know,
and I don't think you're in our Discord yet, Russ.
Nope. I still thought we were in Slack. I don't check message board. I'm really bad when it comes to multiple chat programs.
I know. I just like Discord because I like GIFs. That's really it. I love GIFs. I think they're so fun.
Yeah. Actually, GroupMe's GIF generator is pretty terrible now that you mention it.
And it takes a while for them to load.
Yes. And just come on, GroupMe, @group. That's all I want is to be able to just notify everyone at once.
I love GroupMe. That's the worst thing about GroupMe that doesn't have a way you can add everybody at once. Yes.
And like, it's GroupMe @group. It works. It fits the brand. Just
or
do
at
it.
All or what? I don't care what you call it. At everyone, do what you want. Just let me tag them.
Like, make me say everyone in this goddamn group chat. Like, I'll type all of that out just to be able to talk to everyone at once.
100%.
But on that note, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You could be watching us record. You could jump in the chat, and like Nick Martinez brought up, it's called milking the prostate. Thanks, Russ. What the hell did I say to make him think about milking the prostate?
Nobody knows.
I don't know. But
you can even ask me Debbie questions in the Trade Addicts Pod group me.
People too. People absolutely do. People they ask a college question, they're just like, oh wait, why did I do that? @Kane.
You have to at me or else I have too many chats, I can't stay active in all of them. But if you at me, I will get to it.
100%. All of mine, every single group chat besides like two are muted for me. Like otherwise I wouldn't be able to do anything on my phone.
Right. If you at me, I will respond.
Yes. So there's that. And then ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, which has just gone insane because today we were given the okay to make Scott Fishbowl shirts, which has been fun, but oh my God, overwhelming. So we have, let's start from the beginning. ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, where you can get awesome t-shirts, stickers, mugs from your favorite podcasts, such as Trade Addicts Pod and Devi Marketplace. That's right. There's stuff on there. But and every penny goes to charity. So we are still, for the rest of the month, for the next 9 days, anything that comes in, Scott Fishbowl stuff not included, goes to the Brain Aneurysm Foundation.
Very good, Russ.
Yes. I just I want to go with the the alliteration of Aneurysm Association.
Yeah.
But yes. So everything that comes in that is not a Scott Fishbowl item will be going to the Brain Aneurysm Foundation. We were at like a good 30, 40 bucks a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't looked. So, I mean, I feel like we're going to have an actual pretty good donation for them. And again, I wish I was wearing my Trade Addict shirt so I could say, look, you can have a shirt with a brain on it, and you're giving money to help people's brains. It just, it fits. But also, if you're looking for some Scott Fishbowl shirts, we have made a ton of shirts, stickers. If you don't have a shirt for your division, you know, either me or John Bosch or Bob Gilchrist, hit us up and we will make one if we can. I am very rudimentary in my graphic skills. Bob and all those people are much better at it. And John is just there. John's just there. I don't know what the hell John does. But I am your host, Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse. Rocky at Dynasty FF Addict is my wonderful, glorious co-host. At Trade Addicts Pod, at DAP underscore network, DLF Family Podcast, rate, subscribe, review, just listen. That's all we care about. And you know what? Deep conversations. That's what it's about. Don't just listen. Talk back and say something meaningful. Come on, guys. Good night.
Good night, Russ.